The court will proceed to the seventh case. Ms. Lickwick versus Holder. Okay. Ms. Kim.
Good morning, Your Honors. Excuse me. May it please the court, Leah Kim for the petitioner, Ms. Margarzata Mislevich.
Ms. Kim, you had a preview of what my question was.
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
I was on your case.
Yes, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was mine.
Wondered, you know, because you conceded in your reply brief that she was ineligible to adjust her status.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I wondered if that wasn't dispositive of this appeal.
We believe that at the time of the when she was in removal proceedings, her eligibility to adjust status was premature at that time. She should have been granted an opportunity to present all forms of relief from removal, and that was denied when her motion for continuance was denied at that time. Under regulations 8 CFR 1003.29 and 1240, 0.6, an immigration judge may grant a motion for continuance if there is good cause shown and for a reasonable amount of time. And an immigration judge also has the broad discretionary authority to grant a motion for continuance. Petitioner at her final hearing on June 2, 2008 requested a continuance in order to present her labor certification application, which was her first step for her employment-based visa petition. The respondent cited a case, Matter of Hashmi, which is a board case, which listed factors that should be determined to see if a motion for continuance should be warranted. We believe that it was error for all the factors not to be reviewed in totality. First, Department of Homeland Security did not oppose the motion for continuance, but remained silent on that issue. In cases where DHS remains silent, thus the immigration judge must offer a coherent explanation to the reason for the denial of the motion for continuance. At the time, the immigration judge stated in the instant case that she was not statutory eligible. We believe that that explanation was not coherent, but he just merely stated the obvious.
Well, I mean, he said it twice. He reiterated that aliens who have violated the terms of their non-immigrant status are not eligible to adjust their status based on a labor certification. And he also added that there were no visa numbers that were available for a labor certification filed for that year anyway. You know, he was referencing that condition in 1255A3 that a visa be immediately available when the application is filed. And then he also noted that it didn't look like Congress was going to amend the law anytime soon. So he was pretty complete in his statements, wasn't he?
Your Honor, we believe that he was in error in predetermining her eligibility to status. She should have been granted the opportunity to present any kinds of form of a relief from removal.
And then what would that have been?
Her employment-based visa petition, her first step, which was the labor certification application, which was filed 7 days after her final hearing on June 9, 2008. We also believe that the visa number was not currently available for the petitioner at the time of her removal proceedings, but she had a priority date, and we believe that she should be granted a continuance until she filed their application. And
I'm just having the most difficult time because the IJ's reason was correct. An alien whose status is unlawful, as was hers, is ineligible to adjust her status unless she qualifies for an exception. Well, what is her exception?
There are ways for an alien that...
What is her...
I'm sorry. There are ways for an alien who has failed to maintain their lawful non-immigrant status to adjust status in the United States.
Wait a minute. She didn't fail to. She never had.
She entered the United States on a visitor visa, and she overstayed her visitor visa. So she was... She did violate 245C in failing to maintain her a lawful non-immigrant status. But there are ways for a non-immigrant to adjust status in the United States. First, through an employment-based visa petition, and secondly, through, as we all know, through a family-based visa petition, such as marrying a United States citizen or through other family members. At the time, we believe that petitioner was not granted the opportunity to present any forms of relief to the immigration judge.
And what would she have presented?
She would have presented first her labor certification application, which was for her employment-based visa petition. Also, this is not in the record, but she was in a relationship with a permanent resident at the time, and so she wasn't granted the opportunity to present that as well.
A marriage relationship?
They just started their courtship, and they are still dating as we speak. But I don't want to go into the personal aspects of the case, but she is still in the same relationship, and they had just started when she was placed into removal proceedings. So she was not granted the opportunity to present any forms of relief because her proceedings were cut so abruptly short. Secondly, the labor certification application was approvable when filed. There was a bona fide job offer, an employer willing to keep the job offer open for a petitioner, and also the employer followed the tedious regulations under 20 CFR 656.17 to file her labor certification application. Also, despite diligent good effort, the labor certification was not able to be filed by her second hearing on June 2nd, 2008. According to the regulations, there must be 30 days of advertisements, and also after the advertisements, you must wait a minimum of 30 days before you may file the application. We requested the continuance so we could present and file the labor certification application according to the regulations. We also believe that it was fundamentally unfair for the petitioner to be denied the opportunity to present all possible avenues of relief from removal. Respondents cited that the ultimate hopelessness of an adjustment of status application is a perfectly acceptable basis to deny a continuance inside of PD versus Gonzalez. We argue that petitioner's case is not ultimately hopeless. She has an approved labor certification application. Petitioner has an approved immigrant visa petition now, Form I-140. Also, there is still a bona fide job offer, and the employer has maintained the job offer open for petitioner. Also, petitioner still has a potential opportunity to adjust status in the United States, and her case is completely factually different from PD versus Gonzalez, which was cited in respondent's brief. The sole argument at this moment is her due process was violated when she was not granted the opportunity to present all forms of relief to her during her immigration removal proceedings. If there are no further questions, I would save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Kim. Mr. Cohn?
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Yedidia Cohn, and I represent the respondent, Attorney General of the United States. This petitioner was admitted to the United States as a non-immigrant with authorization to remain in the United States for a temporary period. She remained beyond that period, thereby violating the terms of her non-immigrant visa, incurring unlawful presence in the United States, and triggering the bar to adjustment of status under Section 245C of the Act.
The labor certification has since been granted. If that were true at the time of the hearing, would it have altered the analysis in any way?
It would not have changed the analysis. As explained by the immigration judge, even if she had been the beneficiary of a labor certification, and even if a visa number were immediately available, the underlying point was that Section 245C had been triggered by her unlawful presence and the violation of her non-immigrant visa, thereby rendering her forever ineligible for adjustment here in the United States. Other avenues may be eligible abroad through consular processing. The board, in its decision, agreed with the immigration judge, and by that point, the board had noted that petitioner submitted evidence that she had begun the process to apply for a visa. But the board also noted that petitioner didn't address the question of availability of that visa or ineligibility under Section 245C of the Act. Your Honors, this Court should deny the petition for review because the agency didn't abuse its discretion in denying a continuance to this petitioner who is statutorily ineligible for adjustment of status. Petitioner does not dispute the fact that she is statutorily ineligible for adjustment of status. In fact, she argues that there's a good chance that immigration laws can change or comprehensive reform might occur. As this Court well knows, a court must apply the law in effect at the time when it renders its decision. And at the time that the IJ and the Board, and even now, is considering this case, petitioner is ineligible for adjustment of status under Section 245C of the Act because of her unlawful presence and the violation of her non-immigrant status. The decision to deny the continuance is consistent with the adjustment of status statute pursuant to Section 245C of the Act. It's consistent with the applicable regulations under 8 CFR Sections 1003.29 and 1240.6, and consistent with the Board of Immigration Appeals' precedent decision in the case of Matter of Raja, which, unlike the case cited by petitioner Matter of Hashmi, which dealt with a family-based immigrant petition, Matter of Raja dealt also with an employment-based petition. And in Matter of Raja, the Board of Immigration Appeals explained that an immigration judge must first determine the respondent's place in the employment-based adjustment of status process, and only then, if applicable, consider the Hashmi factors. And ultimately, the focus of the inquiry of the immigration judge is the success of the adjustment application. Now, this thinking is consistent also with this Court's determination in the case Pede versus Gonzalez. Now, as this Court recalls, Pede related to an applicant who was convicted of visa fraud, spent 9 months in prison, and the Court concluded that the ultimate hopelessness of her adjustment application was a quote-unquote perfectly acceptable basis for the denial of a continuance. So it is true that this petitioner has not been convicted of a crime, has not spent time in prison, but that's not the point. The point is the ultimate hopelessness of her adjustment application, and Section 245C clearly precludes this applicant from adjusting status. It doesn't matter how many continuances the immigration judge would have given this petitioner. Time after time, she would come back, and the immigration judge's hands would be tied. He could not help her to adjust status because 245C precludes such adjustment regardless of the labor certification, regardless of the I-140, and regardless of whether a visa number is immediately available, none of which were present before the immigration judge.
Had the courtship continued and a continuance been given, and the courtship resulted in marriage, would that change anything?
Of course, this is a hypothetical which was not brought up before.
I know. Yeah. But we do that in the Seventh Circuit.
Forgive me, Your Honor. There is a possibility to adjust status for individuals who have an immediate relative. In the case of a marriage to a United States citizen, the unlawful presence could be waived, and that is present in the Act. However, petitioner never mentioned any sort of courtship, and of course, even now, the relationship is not one of marriage.
What's an IJ to do when presented with a courtship? What, is he given 60 days for it to evolve, 90 days for it to evolve?
The question is whether there's good cause shown, and that is something that the circumstances of the case would have to dictate. And of course, an immigration judge is in a difficult position, especially in an employment-based visa circumstance, because there are so many steps to be completed, a labor certification to be filed, and then the I-140 be filed by the employer, and then a visa number has to be immediately available. At that time, there was approximately a three-year wait for a visa number to be available, assuming the I-140 was approved. Today, for a Category 3 employment-based visa, the wait is approximately 7 years, and there's no telling how the State Department is going to change those numbers. They could advance it, it could retrogress. In short, the immigration judge has to consider all the circumstances of the case. Your Honors, if you have no further questions, I'd rest on the brief and just ask this Court to deny the petition for review.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors. Regarding the visa number, in July 2007, all the visa numbers for an employment-based petition were made current. So they were backlogged from 2005, but in July 2007, all nine categories were made current for a 2-month period. So regarding the 5-year wait for a visa number or a priority date to be current, we don't know. But she does have a priority date. That is her date in line. So she will be eligible to adjust status if there's other kinds of other kinds of relief available to her. Also, she is there is a congressional history, such as 245I, the Life Act, that does forgive petitioner if for violating her non-lawful immigrant status. If she does marry a United States citizen, even if she has 10, 20 years of unlawful status in the United States, she can still be eligible to adjust.
But is she supposed to present to the IJ that she's married or that she's thinking about getting married?
She should be granted an opportunity to present to the immigration judge all forms of relief from removal.
And well, that's my point. What is the situation that you can envision that an IJ what evidence would he receive about the evolution of the relationship, short of it being before him as a couple that's married?
She should show the marriage certificate, bona fides of the marriage, such as
commingling of funds. You're suggesting that the IJ should have been presented, as I understand your arguments, Kim, with the fact that she's engaged in a relationship mm-hmm. that may eventually result in a marriage. Is that your position?
Yes, but she was not granted the opportunity to present that in court. She only had 32 days. For the reasons stated in our brief and today, we ask that the petition for review to be granted. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. Thank you, Mr. Cohn. The case is taken under advisement.